Good morning. My name is Bill Kladkin. I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Mel Freeman, who's Executive Director of the Citizens Planning and Housing Association. And Mel's here today to talk to us about all things neighborhoods. So, Mel, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
I appreciate your coming. It's been a while since you've been on the show.
Yes, it has.
And I know that you folks are doing all kinds of good stuff out there. And I wanted to find out and ask you what was going on.
What's going on? Well, CPHA has been engaged in a regional conversation. It's called the Opportunity Collaborative. The Opportunity Collaborative is a regionally funded planning grant that allows us to talk about how do we make the region greater. The work that we've been doing at CPHA and many of our colleagues have been doing is, you know, we'll talk about transportation and we'll talk about housing. And then we'll talk about workforce development, but never have we been in a place like we are right now where all three are part of the same conversation.
Wow, that's great.
So in order for us to move it forward, we're going to actually have a community summit on September the 6th at Coppin State, where we're going to be bringing folks from all walks of life together and put them in the same room and go through some exercises and talk about, you know, what's it really like when someone has to take the bus to work and it takes them 90 minutes? What's it really like to say, well, I finally found a place to live, it's affordable, but it's nowhere near my job? Or a little deeper, you know, I finally got a job, but I'm still really not where I need to be. I need to hone my skills, make my job a little bit more important as far as income goes. Mm-hmm. So the Opportunity Collaborative is going to create that opportunity, and we need folks in the room to have that conversation.
Great. And so that's on September the 6th?
September the 6th at 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be at the new physical education complex on Coppin State University at Gwynns Falls Parkway and Warwick Avenue.
Okay. And to find out more information, registration?
Registration. Well, first you can go ahead and go to the website called theopportunitycollaborative.com. That's one way to do it, opportunitycollaborative.com. Or you can call my office at 410-539-1369. Extension 101, you'll get me directly. Please leave a message so I can call you back. Or you can go to our website, which is cphabaltimore.org, and you'll see information about the event as well.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about CPHA. For those of our listeners who didn't check out the previous show, could you tell us a little bit about your history and what you folks do?
CPHA has been around since 1941. We have been caring deeply about neighborhoods from that day and to this day. We still do. We are trying to make sure that neighborhoods can stay strong with strong citizen leaders and that they're able to manage the issues that go on in their community.
Mm-hmm.
One of the latest and greatest efforts that we're working on right now has to do with alcohol outlet density reduction. It's a lot of fancy words for saying we need to close some of the liquor stores that are in our neighborhoods. Now, in the first look at this, you know, this is not an issue that really fits all neighborhoods throughout the city. We have neighborhoods that have liquor stores and they function just fine. We have neighborhoods that have many liquor stores and they don't function as good neighbors at all. So the alcohol outlet density reduction campaign that we're presently working on through the Baltimore City Planning Department's Transform Baltimore Zoning Code, again, lots of words about that have to do with we need to change the way that stores operate in our neighborhoods. They don't need to sell liquor to be a great neighborhood partner. They can be a great neighborhood partner by being a great corner store. We're working really hard to make sure that corner stores become neighborhood amenities and not neighborhood enemies. So we need to make sure that you reach out to your council members in your neighborhoods and say, look, we don't want these number of liquor stores in our neighborhood, and we need you to know that, and we need you to do what we say that we need done.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of closing somewhere between 90 and 100 stores.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that's an accomplishment.
We're going to get there.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. What can folks do to help?
Well, they have to just make sure that when we start coming back out in the fall, when our city council members take this zoning legislation to a vote, that you pick up the phone and make sure your council member knows. Now, it's very important for the council members on the east and the west side of downtown Baltimore to make sure you reach out to your council members and say, look, we are the neighborhoods with the most liquor stores, and we don't want them. And we need your help as our council person who represents us to support the legislation to limit the number of alcohol outlet sources in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, yeah. And because those folks can always get another business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if they actually convert to a corner store, it's a much more greater neighborhood amenity and can make for a stronger neighborhood.
And probably can make more money.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. There's many more dollars out there that are being spent outside of our communities that can be spent in our neighborhoods.
Right. Right. People have to travel farther for, I guess it's not right that people have to travel farther for groceries than they do for liquor.
That's correct. And since we can't pour it in our gas tanks, you know, how's it working out?
Yeah. I guess you could use it to take paint off something, but, you know, that doesn't, that's,
quite,
not,
quite
that's not the best way to do it either.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that sounds like a great thing. And they could find out more information by going on your website?
Absolutely. Back to cphabaltimore.org.
Great, great. How long have you been with CPHA, Mel? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but you and I go back here now.
This January 1 will be 5 years.
5 years?
Yep, but I've been involved as a board member, as a volunteer, since 2000. So, yeah, it's really rolling back the days here.
5 years, because I had you on this show just almost as soon as you took office.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
So that was back in 2010.
Yeah. So how have things changed since then? Do you see what kind of trends do you see in the neighborhoods?
We're discovering that the neighborhoods are remaining strong, and we really have to put a lot more stress on the community leadership and the skills that they have to manage a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Problems are becoming much more complex in our neighborhoods, and some of our leadership, they're just trying to keep up, and some of our leadership is not properly supported by other neighbors. Some folks are still have a deep apathetic level of, well, somebody else is going to take care of this.
Yeah.
That's really not the way to handle some of the issues. And, you know, when we have weak community associations, we have weak neighborhoods. And that's where CPHA is. Stronger volunteer citizens can make for a stronger neighborhood.
And that's a reality.
Correct.
That's a reality. It takes people a while to understand. It takes some people a while to understand that you got to deal with it as it is.
As it is, and every time that something's going on in a neighborhood and you look to that one person to do it, if that one person's not there, some of the stuff doesn't get done, and then all of a sudden you have a bigger problem in your neighborhood. And just by coming together at a meeting every other month or a monthly meeting and doing your part, you know, picking up the phone and calling 311 when you're supposed to, when everybody else on your block has already called 311, is part of what needs to happen in neighborhoods now.
Yeah. What improvements are needed? How can the city council, and I guess we have an Annapolis session coming up, what can the governments do?
Be more available to the citizen groups. We have some really strong community associations throughout town. And, you know, we do get the phone calls saying that, you know, we called so-and-so and we didn't get the response that we needed. And, you know, that is something that has to be important to our legislators. If your constituents are reaching out to you, give them an opportunity to share what's going on in their neighborhoods. Not all neighborhoods are created equally. Not all neighborhoods have access to all of our legislators as some of our other neighborhoods do. And I say, you know, we're right here in a neighborhood of great access here in central northern Baltimore. But there are neighborhoods in east and west that don't have great access, and their problems are just as important.
Yeah. So the legislators need to be more open. And I guess you're talking about department heads, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We all get places because of our access. We have access to people that can do things. And the weaker the community is, the less access they have.
Yeah, yeah. And the more that people in that community need to step up and understand what the situation is and do something about it.
Correct, correct. Yeah. And we are reaching out to every community association in the city, having conversations about, you know, how do you run your meetings? How well-functioning is your community association? How do we make you a blue-chip community association like some of the other neighborhoods in town that really get the resources they need when they pick up the phone?
And you can help them with that.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
By calling us at 410-539-1369, extension 101.
And so I know that you've had, when I was with United Way, I remember all the great programs that you had for developing neighborhood associations and responding to the kind of things we've been talking about.
Yeah, we're still doing that, not nearly as broad as we'd like to, but we're still, you know, when an organization calls us up, we ask them a few questions, we ask them how they're doing, how often do they meet, and just from a general few answers, we can understand pretty much where they are from a capacity standpoint. And then we have some suggestions as to what to do from that point forward, and we can work with you hand in hand. And that's what we care about the most, strengthening communities.
Yeah. And it takes work. It takes work.
Absolutely.
Such as the Opportunity Collaborative Community Summit.
Yes, the Opportunity Community, that's a good one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that is.
Opportunity Collaborative Community Summit. Uh-huh. This is a very important opportunity for Baltimore and the region. Just recently, the state of Maryland was listed as the number one highest median income for a family of four. The number one income level. Now, you look at that and you go, really? Yeah, but when you look at Baltimore and our region by itself, that number starts to get a little bit smaller. And that's because it's not an even playing field.
Yeah,
our region has some issues that if we work together, we can raise the tide for all the families in the region. It's not just about having a great job. It's about having a great job with a great house and easy to get to and from work. Those three things go hand in hand. And since there are families that are doing great, we can learn from those families that are doing great. And since there are families that aren't doing so great, we want to come together at the Opportunity Community Summit to talk about some of those solutions. We want to talk about what neighborhoods need to improve transportation for all, not just the folks that are, you know, can hop in their car and drive to work, but the folks that are, you know, if it's in a neighborhood or community, and I talk about community as in the region, there are parts of this region that are prosperous and there's parts of this region that are not. There are parts of this region where the jobs are abundant, but this isn't old Baltimore where you could hop on the trolley line and ride down Bel Air Road and get to a job anymore. The transportation system needs to get us to some of the job centers that are really important throughout the region, and that's just not happening. And at this summit, we're going to talk about solutions such as that.
Yeah, and actual, as it is, solutions.
Correct.
Rather than dreams, rather than speculation, rather than wannabes, talking about ways that you can get to things that can be.
And the only way that we can do that is to have everyone in the room. You know, it's always this complicated conversation about, well, I'm doing well, so I should be able to tell you how to do that. Yeah. Not necessarily the case. We need to hear what some of the issues are. Like the families that have to go to work at BWI Airport, there are folks that take 90 minutes just to get to work from Baltimore City. Now, that might not seem like, well, that's not so horrible, but what about the folks that are doing shift work there and you can't even get there between those hours? You actually have to go 4 or 5 hours early because that's when the transit system runs out.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of those little things that people are going through in this region that when we have a broader conversation with all of us, we can get our arms around those.
Yeah. And come up with some realistic solutions that can get to helping those persons, and by helping those persons, we all benefit.
We all benefit. The entire region rises with the same tide. Less resources are spent in different places that where they're not needed.
And just think of somebody who takes that long when they drive home at night. You know, if driving is part of their commute, they are going to be tired.
Yep.
They are going to be exhausted, and frankly, we've read too many things about accidents that happen when people are too tired.
Absolutely. And that same point about having just more vehicles on our roads, more miles traveled, when we can have that simply replaced by maybe a shuttle or a different routing of a bus just to be more efficient.
Yeah.
You know, that can limit the road wear and tear, the accidents. I mean, it was famous this morning. Someone said, I heard on the radio this morning, and that was, you know, all it takes is a little bit of rain to realize how much traffic we have on our roads. And that's exactly right. You know,
very true.
A perfect day, we can have bad traffic. But on a rainy day, forget it.
That's right. So come to the summit. Mel, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. Could you give us that contact information one more time for CPHA?
One more time for CPHA. We are at 410-539-1369, extension 101. And our website is cphabaltimore.org. where you can find information about the Opportunity Summit, or you can go to the opportunitycollaborative.com, to also get information about the summit as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Mel Freeman, who's Executive Director of Citizens Planning and Housing Association, for being our guest today. Thank you, Mel.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Will do, Bill.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.